And go ahead and get started. Welcome to the March 18th meeting of Plan and Zone Commission. We are a recommending body and make recommendations to City Council, who makes final decisions. The matters that typically come before us are rezoning, land use, preliminary and final plats, site development plans. We have several things on the agenda tonight. We'd ask if anyone has a comment that they like to make. There's a podium in the back to my right. You can step back there. That helps us pick up your comments on the microphone and the camera. If you can be sure to start out with your name and address and interest in the matter, that will help us. So before we start off, we need to address the minutes from our February 18th meeting. Oh, roll call. Sorry, Lisa. Thanks, Paul.
Here.
Hepler.
Here.
Peters.
Here.
Rafferty.
Here.
Stoltenberg.
And now we'll look for approval from our February 18th meeting.
Madam Chairman, I approve we move the minutes as submitted.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, minutes are approved. The first, item four and five on the agenda, these two cases involve the same property, so we're going to consider those together. And we'll have Greg review case 15-017 and 18.
Madam Chairwoman, the property in question is right here. We've got 23rd Street, Grant Street, 23rd and State. Property is currently zoned C5, but it's commingled with many different types of zoning classes around it. The adjoining property is R4, and it is medium-density residential, and that's the land use change that's being requested, as well as the rezoning, is to go from commercial here to medium-density residential adjoining, and then to go from C5 to R4. And you can see that there's a great deal of R4 already in the vicinity, and then that this is C5, C3, C3, commercial land uses throughout the area, R4 over here. Lot in question is Lot 45, plat of Peter Escuori's addition, and that is the area here outlined in aqua that is being requested for the land use change and the rezoning so that the structure might be used in a residential manner as opposed to its current commercial use. I would say staff would recommend approval, and I would ask if there are any questions.
So would it be safe to say, Greg, that this was residential, and when it became Habitat or whatever preceded that, that it was changed and now we want to revert back?
Pretty much.
Okay. Any questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience?
I do have a question. Mr. Beck, do we have, I know we're going through a comprehensive plan. Do we have any thoughts yet from that plan, that process of what this will be, what this would be recommended to be in the future, what the future land use for this was?
It's going to be a mixture. I believe that if we look at it, the way that the comp plan is being laid out is that the land uses are going to be tolerant of many different types of different uses and densities within certain areas, and that there will be a more general use of classifications that will be brought down probably about maybe three major ones, and then there will be other ones brought in, and that this type of use in this area probably would be accommodated.
Yeah, I think we'll talk a little bit about that later on tonight, and I think what this does is this kind of opens the door for that kind of a process, so thank you.
Any other commission questions? Anyone in the audience? Okay. Anyone like to make a motion?
Madam Chairwoman, I move that we approve case 15-17, the land use change at 2235 as submitted.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion, a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay, then, the companion case is 15-018. We have a motion for the rezoning.
Madam Chairwoman, I'll move we approve case 15-18, 2235 Grant Street, the change from C5 to R4, as submitted by staff.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right. Next, we have a preliminary plat. It's agenda item number 6, case 15-020. Greg?
Madam Chairwoman, the site is approached from Criswell Street down Still Creek Pass, and then you have Woody Creek Lane adjoining what will be a parcel that we are looking at tonight. The area is already zoned R1. At one time, it had been proposed as a 13-lot subdivision known as Old Hunter Woods 4th Edition. This is the preliminary plat, pretty much showing the same outline, and then you have here a stormwater detention feature that's shared between the subdivision here below and then the proposed subdivision here. And then, of course, a street that stubs in here. The street has been changed slightly. What we see here is essentially looking from Criswell Street over here, looking south, the two sort of areas that are divided with the ravine right here in the middle. And this is the area looking back toward this direction, which is the southeast, northwest to southeast, and looking at essentially the extension of Woody Creek Lane here, and then on the other side of it, one part of the subdivision, and then on the other side over here, another. And here's the wooded ravine. This is again, look, this is looking back toward the northwest, and then the flat area out front here, and then further to the east, we have Criswell Street. The plan essentially shows the connection here of Grover Station. The street has been slightly turned this direction and one lot added to the proposed subdivision. There is this area here which has been staked out essentially as an outlot for stormwater detention. In the packet, I'd like to have noted that condition 9 is no longer relevant, as we decided that this area containing the stormwater in this outlot was sufficient and that no further outlotting was required for lots 2 and 3 for this area. So that condition is no longer valid within the recommendations that staff has placed in the report. Staff recommends approval of the preliminary plat with the conditions listed in the report, with the exception of condition 9. I would ask, are there any questions?
So we are taking number 9 off the list.
Yes.
We have stormwater detention on 12.
Correct.
And how does that affect the buildability of that lot? I don't know if that's the correct term, but.
There's sufficient room. There's already an easement right here. So essentially, you're looking at this portion of the lot here. And there's the sufficient width at this point to meet our ordinance requirement for R1, and then the depth is such too that it remains buildable.
And is there detention area on lot 3 also, or only on 12?
It's only on 12. This is a flow-through area here. And these two portions of off-site flow meet at this point approximately, and then drain, they're piped from right here into the outlot.
So you're also asking to show the drainage areas from off-site contribution. Are you familiar with that, Greg, to show us on here where that?
I think Mr. Freeze would probably have a better handle on that.
I don't have a drainage map with me, but there's an area to the north, and it's not shown on this currently, but that field to the north, a portion of that does drain down through this area. The detention that's in place currently does address, I guess, this development. So they put their detention in ahead of time for this area.
So as far as the homes, the existing homes to the south of there, with the detention areas, that should address any drainage that might impact them?
That's correct. We do want them, obviously, to stabilize the waterway there, and we'll be looking at that as the plans come in for that.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Greg on this case from the commission? No? Anybody in the audience? Well, in that case, then, I would be happy to entertain a motion.
Madam Chairwoman, I would recommend that we approve case number 15020, the preliminary plat, subject to staff recommendations and with removal of condition 9.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. Item number 7. Is a site development plan for case 15012, 1801 Kimberly Road. Greg?
Madam Chairwoman, the approach to this site is from Kimberly Road, and then you come in here. This is Subway right here. There used to be a restaurant at this location, and that is approximately where the petitioner would like to place a car wash. The site at one time was site planned already with the restaurant in existence. The latest site plan was for Subway to be here. As part of that site plan, they shared an access, and this is a requirement that this be the only access to these two parcels, to these two lots. They also shared parking, and this is somewhat of the parking in question that may be impacted by an easement being requested by the petitioner to build the building. This is the original outline of the subdivision with the entry here, and the area all in yellow here is the original means of getting access to both lots with some parking here that was shared. And this is an access for both lots, one, which was the car wash lot and the existing Subway lot right there. This is a view of the site with an entry from Duck Creek right here, an entry over here from Kimberly. The building site is proposed right here, and the Subway as it exists presently at that location on the other Murphy's Addition lot. The demolition is outlined here of any cement or paving that will be removed. There will also be a change in the storm sewer system to take this in this direction, and that's noted on the site plan here, where you have the storm sewer being brought down here to circumnavigate the car wash. The area in question for the easement is right in here, where there'll be an extension into this 40-foot wide area of 26 feet. And this is it right here, showing it on the plat. It's 59 by, I should say, 22 feet that would extend in here, leaving, I believe, 23 feet. I was wrong. That's 45 feet here. So there'd be 23 feet right here. And essentially what you're looking at is an encroachment that is requiring that the property owner here on lot 2 sign an agreement that would be notarized, giving permission to the owner of lot 1 to make this encroachment into this easement. And that was one of the things that we're asking staff to consider in looking at this tonight, that you see what issues that you may feel comfortable with in moving this on, or if you're not comfortable, then it's at your discretion that you may not want this particular proposal to go forward at this time. But we did list out the issues that seem to be key here, and based on those, we would ask that you make your decision.
Can you give us a status report as to
I think
where
the developer
dialogue?
Okay. Might be able to do that.
All right.
Hi, my name is Raybone Miller. What were you looking for exactly?
Well, obviously, there's a huge contingency here with the owner of Lot 2.
Yes.
In order for this to move forward. What's the status of your conversations with them?
I have talked to him about it. He is okay with encroaching upon there. He has not seen this easement plat yet or has seen the legal document for it. I'm still working on getting that written up. But he is fine with the location of the building. So we are in agreement upon that.
Okay. Greg, from this picture that you have on the screen right now, can you show us where the easement area is?
That's the encroachment.
I think she wants the entire easement area
mm-hmm.
marked out.
That's the entire easement right here.
Is that easement meant for traffic flow originally?
Yes. For access, yeah.
So does the encroachment of the easement allow for traffic to pass both ways at the same time?
You'd have 23 feet right about here.
Are they going to be losing parking?
And somebody may be losing parking. That's the whole point. It's going to be subway because the parking for this structure here would not be the same and it's what was required when there was a restaurant. So it's essentially Subway giving up their parking here, retaining what they have over in this direction, which this is essentially what they're giving up. And if you go over here to this photo, their parking is right out in front here.
So it's only the parking immediately adjacent to the building that will remain?
This parking right here. I don't know if per se this is regarded as parking, but this is what would be lost is this area. For parking for all purposes, because then you're coming in, you have 23 feet to negotiate this area through here. So you're coming in immediately off here, and then you have to jog over here, and then somebody who, if they were to come around here, would have to jog into this position and then leave vis-a-vis that means.
And the access from Duck Creek Plaza that's on the east side, which dumps, it looked on the other drawing that you gave to us, showed us, yeah, on here, and that comes right into the
and
will there, that remain?
That the owners of this parcel in this area have stated that they want to curb this and close that. That would depend on the impact from these two lots. And this area has been open quite a long time. There may be legal ramifications for shutting that entry down to these two lots after they've had access for several decades. So that's another issue that has to be traversed here. If this gets shut down, the owners have indicated over here, their legal counsel has, that if this gets built, they want to curb this in and shut that access down to these two lots.
Greg, if I could point out a couple things. There's actually 50 feet between the rear parking spots and my building, the rear parking spots of Subway and my building. There is also, what was the other point? There's also 32 feet between the curb, both the curb on my building and the curb where that sign is, the existing sign on the property. So there's plenty of room for traffic through there. And also Subway, the amount of parking spots that Subway currently has on their property is enough to meet city code, I believe.
We'll have to verify the restaurant established parking level that they'll need based on either square footage of the structure Subway or the number of seats within there. There are three different standards, and the most stringent standard would be the one that would govern it, and we'll have to run that total to see whether or not they fall in within the most strict guidelines.
So we don't have that information yet?
No, because again, the encroachment, we have to make sure we know exactly what the encroachment is. The parking here will probably be lost, but some of this area over here when I went out and visited the site, you really, it's hard to define if it's really parking or not or what it is. It may be a drive area because there wasn't a whole lot to enumerate if those are parking spaces. You can see that these are here, mm-hmm. but we have to make sure we add that in to see if there's a viable enough total. This is getting rather short in terms of parking out front, so we have to make sure this is striped off and clearly marked as parking.
Does the city have any idea how much traffic's generated by this new use? How many people are going to be back up?
A traffic study was conducted. We don't know what that will be, and that's something the petitioner would have to furnish us. I don't know that we did that on any of the other car washes that we've done since I've been here, at least.
I'm just thinking of the car wash there on Devil's Glen across from Hy-Vee. Don't know now with what it's like, but many times it's people are backed up trying
to
get
the
in.
Road.
Mm-hmm. And I'd hate to have people backed up on Kimberly trying to get in there. And this would also be very congested for Subway. I'm not sure that I'm willing to move forward with this unless we have some data that shows
right.
how
especially
traffic is going to be
Subway.
Used in and around this area. Exactly. How it's going to flow, where it's going to back up, how many parking spaces Subway needs, how many it has. I don't think that information is available. I'm not willing to move forward on it.
I would agree. I'm not necessarily opposed to the concept, but based on the information we have,
I have a little more information. I don't know if it's included in the package, but we can get the projector on. I can show you this as well.
It's okay. It's fine. It should. There you go. This way. That's more right side up.
Okay, so I'd like to point out these areas right here are Subway's parking, more of Subway's parking spots. There are five spots in that location. So a total there is, I believe, well, 17 spaces there. And also I've outlined on here, these little blocks represent cars that are stacked up to go into the wash. The typical average these days for car, the amount of cars stacked up for an automatic wash is between 3 and 4 cars. People won't wait around longer than that generally. They'll just go somewhere else. So I have plenty of room. I have what, 5 cars here and 4 cars here for stacking on both of the automatic locations, which should be adequate for today's use.
So the two bays on the, I don't know what direction that would be, I guess north, those are automatic?
These two are both the automatic bays. Okay. These two are manual.
Okay.
Manual generally doesn't have people wait, don't have to have people waiting around too long.
So people would drive around and see that it was backed up and then somehow turn around and come back out?
Well, they'd most likely go out this way and back out.
If it's not closed.
I will most likely be putting signs up there, do not block the intersection if it becomes a problem.
So if I'm just looking at the traffic flow coming in off of Kimberly Road, and I know the example you're giving, that's a front-loading car wash, and this is a back-loading car wash.
I did the back-loading car wash to make sure people had time to get off the road, and when they're done, they just exit right on out. They're not out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would be really interested to see what the parking requirements are for Subway and how that meets the ordinance. And Greg, that's information that you said you could obtain. I don't know. There's some other. What other issues are we concerned about?
Well, Subway's agreement.
Right.
Yeah.
Their status on this. Once they see the specific drawings and expectations, how you plan to share the easement.
I have shared this drawing with them and all my other drawings with them. I just recently got that the easement drawing, so they have not seen that yet, but mm-hmm. they will be seeing that here shortly.
Yeah, it's just a major encroachment, and I'd like to be a little bit more comfortable in my mind that there's enough room around this corner here on the mm-hmm. south end, because I see at least, you know, there's exit traffic from Subway, there's entrance traffic from Subway, and there's entrance and exit traffic from your business also, all trying to get around that corner.
And to tell you what really happened, or what happened before this meeting, I approached the Subway owner about that. I think it's going to be a problem. I'm trying to alleviate the situation, and he does not want to move the entrance. I originally had it, so we would kind of share it. It would be in this mm-hmm. area. It was about two-thirds on my property, a third on his property, and he was concerned with traffic flowing in and out of the spots. So I would have liked to move the entrance myself. But I don't think it would be that big of an issue once we get up and rolling, once people are able to see that you can move in and out of here correctly.
Yeah, unfortunately, we won't know that.
Right. I like that.
I would like to have a little more time for the city to study this and give us some more information. I don't know if you would, if it's the right thing to make a motion to defer this until next month.
That's what I was thinking. It's not going to impact the status of the application, correct, Greg? If we can defer this for a month, then we could have some more information and.
And we need, I think, also to clarify this over here.
Mm-hmm.
What may happen mm-hmm. because if it doesn't pack flow, there's going to have that right. has to get resolved. That entry issue.
Yeah, I hate to see you rely on that as a safety valve for people to exit if, in fact, it's not going to be there.
Yeah.
And I do agree that shifting that entrance a little bit farther to the south would move it away from your building.
Yeah, that would help.
Today, of possibly moving it down to this location to help that out. I do have 10 feet between this curb and my property line to move it, which would help.
Yeah, good. But I'll make that motion that we defer. What is this? Case 15-112 until next month so that more information can be obtained.
Second.
Could I possibly make a comment with regard to this as you're going to be referring?
Of course.
My name is David Smith, and I'm here on behalf of S.J. Russell, which is the new owner of the Duck Creek office building. Many of you may recognize that I've been involved with this project for many, many years in the redevelopment of Duck Creek. And we have several concerns that I guess we'd like to air, and if, as long as you're going back and tabling this and looking for more information, there might be some other things to think about. Along Kimberly Road, there's only two stoplights, one at Middle Road and the next stoplight being all the way up by the Davenport Bank at the Kimberly Road access point. Traffic along this area is significant, and there are a lot of singular access driveways. The coming out of Schnucks, coming out of Walgreens, coming out of this location, the bank location, which is just to the south of this. Then you go into Hobby Lobby and the bank that's there. Then as you're going further north, you get into Thomas Place, which is a senior housing development that we did. The new auto parts facility that's being built next to that. And then you're into Alpine, and then as it turns the corner, you get opposing on the apartments on the south side of the street, as well as the green autoplex on the north side, and then into the hotels and the banks and so forth. And so there's a lot of traffic that's entering and exiting off of Kimberly Road in that section from Middle Road to where it connects with Spruce Hills and Kimberly. If anyone has shopped at Schnucks or coming out of these areas, it's difficult at times to make those movements coming out. And we had, at the time we did the Thomas Place development, had requested or talked about the idea of trying to create some gapping through a stop signal system somewhere in that area, and whether it's at Hobby Lobby or somewhere through there to help break that traffic up and create gapping to allow people to make those movements. The only access for truck traffic for deliveries to Schnucks, to Home Depot, and to the shopping center is through either this entrance, which is the easement that comes through, or through the main entrance that comes in by the bank, which is just to the south of this. So all the truck traffic that comes in and out of Duck Creek Plaza Shopping Center has to enter off of Kimberly Road at this location, so there's a significant amount of traffic. I happened to office in the office building for about 10 years and faced this direction and saw the traffic that comes and goes out of here, and it's significant. The alignment and the way this is being laid out, and by the way, I want to say the petitioner, I thank the world of the Windmiller family, and I think they've done a great job of development, and I'm certainly not opposed to conceptually what they're trying to do, but I think it's a very intense use for a very small lot. By comparison, this lot is about 0.46 acres. The other car wash, which is up next to Red Lobster, up above the hill, is over a half an acre, about 0.56 acres. And then we compare that with the Devil's Glen, the older car wash that the first one was there, which is 0.65 acres, I believe, a little larger yet. And even that's tight. And you can see what happens when they get, you know, on a nice day after we've had a snowfall or rain, that they get backed up. I'm concerned about also the type of use here. You know, Duck Creek Plaza has been redeveloped and has been very successful in attracting new tenants. As it's mushroomed out from Duck Creek Plaza with now the new Hilton Garden Inn and the Starbucks and the redo of the Big Ten Mart and Thomas Place up the street from here and Waterfront Deli taking over the old Mexican restaurant and so forth, that the area has taken on a different type of feel. I think it's more of a community servicing retail area and office area. Community Foundation just expanded, you know, their presence there. We have another tenant that we're working with for the entire fourth floor of the office building. And I think that the area probably warrants something more along that line of a restaurant or office use that would be right-sized for this type of a lot. And that's my personal opinion, being a resident of Bettendorf. I love car washes. I go all the time. There are a number of them, obviously, on Devil's Glen Road. There's the one attached to Green Chevrolet or Buick, and then also the older one that's at the top of the hill. Personally, I think that a better location for a car wash like this would be in a redeveloped location somewhere in the downtown area to pick up the slack of what happened with the exodus of Water Park when they were relocated. I just feel that this is going to be a very intense traffic area in mixing in both the patrons for Subway, along with the car wash, along with the truck traffic, that we can't really restrict unless we do close off that entrance of coming through this same driveway. In the road, the two access points don't align because the building would stick out and encroach upon that easement that exists there today for a drive-through. So with that, I'll just want to bring that to your attention, provide my comments. As I said, I think the world of the Windmiller family and their efforts. I just believe that this particular lot is very small to accommodate that in the configuration, and it would be a detriment to the further development of the office space and other pieces of Duck Creek Plaza. Thank you very much.
Dave, can I'd like to just ask a clarification to make sure I understood you correctly. So what I heard was that currently the two primary truck access points to Duck Creek come from Kimberly Road.
That's the only access.
And one of those is through this easement?
The easement is being currently used as an access for trucks. There's a sign posted in the pavement design when we laid out Duck Creek did not allow for the truck movements to come in to the entrance off Middle Road, any of the entrances off Middle Road. And so they're diverted around to Kimberly Road and to come in. Obviously, this is a much straighter shot for the trucks to come in versus coming into the bank entrance and then having to weave around the buildings. So this is the primary entrance that is used frequently.
But the design that you created for the Duck Creek Plaza,
correct,
the design was for that one entrance to come through the bank?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
And Duck Creek.
One other question I had too is, well, the stormwater situation, there is no detention for any of these properties, so it's all been surface runoff and area drains that take care of this. When we built Thomas Place, we saw the magnitude of the water that's coming off the paved services all the way from Middle Road going north to Duck Creek at about where the former Fortune Garden restaurant area was. So we created a regional detention facility that is between the Thomas Place mm-hmm. senior housing and the okay. interstate. And had the DNR come in, they stocked that, and the patrons that live there have a catch and release program for fishing and so forth. And I'm concerned about the runoff from the chemicals and so forth that may be involved with the car washes too, going in that same drain, feeding into that same regional detention facility that we built as a part of this. And I don't know if it goes into the sanitary sewer or if it goes into the storm drain, but that might be a concern as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sir?
Dave and I go way back. I'm Craig Windmiller. Our sons, older sons, played soccer together in high school, and I have a lot of respect for him because he has done a lot of commercial property, and hats off for doing Duck Creek and what he did do there. But this piece of property, just for more education, has been available for 8 years without being sold. It was a restaurant at one time, so it had a lot of parking, a lot of traffic in it. The main entrance to Duck Creek is just what Ann has said, and this is just a temporary cut through that some people use. If it were blocked off, it would not really affect the car wash situation nor Subway at all. It is a convenience, I think, for Duck Creek patrons and Subway car wash patrons as well. You can shop, eat, and have your car washed all in one sort of things, and I think that's a neighborly thing that would be responsible for everyone involved. So yes, I think that we do need to look at the parking for the Subway. Subway has already agreed to it, and we haven't had that in writing yet, but we're working that direction. And if the new access were allowed to move over, it would help the realignment as well. Bill Connors and Greg can say that too, is all of the water that from the car wash does go through the sanitary. The only water that is being picked up there that goes into the storm is what is there. There is partially paving in that area anyway, so it's really not changing a whole lot. I think that's really all I have to say at this point in time, but I just wanted to clarify that. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, I know we had a motion. Did we have a second?
Yes.
We did. Okay, so currently we have a motion to defer to next month. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. So I think we're clear on what we're looking for, and I know staff will be supportive, and we'll work on that for next month and look forward to seeing you back here. Okay, the next case we have, number 8 on the agenda, is case 15-021. It's a site development plan for 2123 53rd Avenue. Staff report, Greg?
Madam Chairwoman, this particular parcel is located adjoining the boundary with Davenport. You have 53rd Avenue right here and Falcon Drive right here, McDonald's, and then the restaurant location right here being built. McDonald's already there. This site at one time had a farmstead on it. That is no longer the case. What you're looking at is this parcel here outlined in red with sanitary sewer access right here, an easement here taking the sanitary that direction. You have other utilities that are viable and connected, or easily connected to the site. Got overhead electrical right here. The petitioner is proposing to use an entry that is currently existing here to gain entrance to what will be a site for a credit union. This is the site as it was back in 2011 down in this photo, which you have these buildings. The house is no longer there, and the outbuildings are pretty well, they've been removed. As you can see in this photo, there's nothing but trees left on the site, outlining the area right here of the parcel. This is the building right here for the proposed credit union, with entry coming in here. The area of the island as it is now is right here. For safety purposes, staff wanted as much of this island that could be brought in to play here for stacking, because there's very little stacking for the left turn maneuver to come in here. And we wanted to make sure we had the most separation from the entry that is over in this area going into McDonald's and the other businesses located along Falcon Avenue. There's a sufficient number of parking spaces. The stormwater detention will be corralled in this area and then taken over to the storm sewer over in this direction. This is the building is how it will look with the drive-ups here. And the special use permit's already been obtained for those drive-ups. The landscape calculations met the landscape ordinance requirements. And in reviewing this proposal, staff recommends approval for the University of Iowa Credit Union for this particular parcel. I would ask, are there any questions?
Greg, the way I see this drawing, if I'm a customer there, when I leave, I can make a left or a right-hand turn?
You have a right here, you have a left out, and a left in.
Is that the way the other businesses on 53rd are
pretty much
configured?
How do it, by moving this island, I understand what your objective is for this property. Does that impact anybody on the other side of the street?
There's no outlet, and I believe that the
there's a cut through by Falcon.
You have this cut through here, but I believe that you have to go down to Falcon to have any type of
So
offsetting drive.
So on this picture here, where will the cut through be?
Approximately here.
And then how much stacking would there be?
I believe Mr. Freeze might know that.
I believe there's enough for four cars there.
Any questions from the commission? Anyone in the audience?
Hey, good evening. My name is David Fenton. My wife, Michelle, and I live at 5182 Dove Court, which is one of the two adjacent residences on the south end of the lot. Greg, I don't know if you could help flip through and maybe show.
You show us the aerial view, Greg? There we go.
So ours would be exactly, that home there, and then the home toward the right is 5200. So those two residences, we've been working with build-to-suit since this issue came up in November, and I would like to say they've done a very nice job accommodating our neighborly requests and making minor modifications to the plat layout. We had seen several layouts and had given some input on those since November when this first came to this group's attention. All of the requests have been accommodated, and we have two kind of outstanding issues I wanted to bring to your attention. One is, since the McDonald's had moved into the area, we've had real, I'd say, obnoxious amount of light impacting the residents. If you drive up into that area in the evening, the lighting is just phenomenally bright. One of our requests, and I'm not sure of the right place to put this request out there, is we'd like the lighting, which we haven't seen the layout of the height of poles for parking lot lights to the south end of that lot, to be similarly designed as the Accentra Credit Union is just a little bit further to the east of this area. That Accentra Credit Union, they have an automatic lighting system where the lights in their parking area shut off at 8 p.m. in the evenings. And that impacts the area and makes it a little more pleasant, especially in the evening hours. And then on the weekends, they're not on at all. So somehow I'd like to somehow ask that that request be made part of, you know, the consideration that they're asking for the area. The second issue that we've had, and it came to a surprise to us last week, we had looked at several layouts that we'd provided attention. And Greg, I don't know if you could flip back to the layout which shows the one more. There it is. This layout here was the one that we had worked closely with the build-to-suit group, and it shows the entrance to the lot centered on the lot off of 53rd. As the neighbors to the south, this was important to us to have because the slope of the ground rises at that point. So 53rd sets lower than the height of that plat or plot. About 3 foot rise occurs right there. So our thinking was that vehicles coming in or out of that area in the darker hours or with their headlights on, that the building would block most of those headlights and they wouldn't be shining into the backs of our homes. By the staff proposal moving that entrance to the west, now the headlights shine directly into the back of my house. So last night, my wife and I went and I pulled into that entrance and she got into our house from the second floor. The light shines directly into my home. There's nothing there to block that. I have three spruce trees on that side of my lot, and the lights shine right over the top of them. So my request is we would like to have the entrance moved back to the center of that lot, as is depicted on this drawing, and not to the west.
I'd just like to make one comment to that, if I could. That was actually staff's request to move that entrance as far to the west as possible to accommodate stacking for the turning movement into that location, and that's the primary concern is traffic use there.
So it's a safety issue, Brian?
It would be.
Mm-hmm. So our concern would be, what kind of traffic are we talking about needing to stack up four cars? If they had 500 customers a day in an 8-hour working day, that's 60 a minute or 60 an hour. It's one car an hour or one car a minute.
It's similar to every location that we have along 53rd. If you look at the Southeast National Bank at Devil's Glen and 53rd there, all the way down the line, it's a very similar layout.
But we don't stack up in front of the Falcon entrance, and we don't stack up in front of the Accentra Credit Union entrance, which is just to the east of that.
We could look at that, but I believe that those are all laid out the same.
Yeah, so my consideration is, you know, take my home into consideration. You can imagine if you had the headlights of every vehicle that drove up in the area flashing up the backside of your home, it wouldn't be an appealing or desirable situation, and it will have an impact on the value of my home. The design with it centered that we'd worked out with the developer, in my understanding, the credit union also was okay with that center entrance. It was just a city request to have that moved. Mm-hmm. But those are the two issues that we kind of have outstanding. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the builder designer group has done a nice job accommodating the other minor things that we had requested, and they've agreed to those at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Go
ahead.
I was just thinking, is there any way we can either flip the building or move the building further to the, would that be to the west, to try to block those headlights?
I think they're going to lose their traffic flow
around the building. Can't they go the other way?
Well, once somebody pulls in the drive, I think that's what creates the issue.
It doesn't
matter which way they're going.
If you look at landscaping, potentially you could put arborvitae in that will grow to a significant height that could block the lighting, just like we've seen with the Elias project with the proposed garage or tire store, and the people requesting in this same vicinity the same protection of vegetation that could be used and placed in such a manner as to shield the properties from the light coming in directly from cars entering here. And it may take some time, but I don't know, it depends on what variety is grown. They could be placed in such a manner as to block that light at some point when they become fully mature and they spread out.
Is this area, that southern boundary area there, is that intended to be bermed at all?
I think, I don't know if this is, this is the detention area right here. So what you're looking at is the detention area right there.
Can I show you a picture just to give you a feel for what we're looking at? I think, is this still on?
Let's see, yeah.
So this is that entrance that's been proposed here. This is my home in yellow. This large spruce tree will stay. There are three large spruce trees behind my home that are 25 plus feet tall. Currently, they're 20 years old. This view in the evening, so this is my phone last night. Can't see it very well. But that is my back of my home with the headlights from my car shining directly into the back of the house with that entrance location. If you zoom in, there's my home. Here are the three trees, and then this spruce stays. This is the view I get from the window of my bedroom. That's one car, one time. So as many times as that occurs, that's all I see. So my trees are 25 foot plus tall now. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're expecting to screen that any better.
No, I would. Well, I can't speak for the credit union or on behalf of the credit union. I would think their hours are limited. I know the developers here.
Is it the use of the ATM?
Yeah, that's another thing, the ATM.
Possible.
That's going to be the kicker.
I think they're, I'm Kevin, Kellner with Build to Suit. I think the credit union hours, like on a Friday with the drive-thru, is probably open until 6 p.m. or so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's probably, Friday's going to be the latest hours, I would think. So, in terms of the landscaping, we'll do anything we need to do to, you know, try and accommodate everything. There is a berm along the back fence, too.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Kevin.
Well, Kevin? There was another question about lighting. Could the lighting be turned off at, you know, after hours?
Yeah, we did talk about that, and they're okay with turning the site lights. I think we might have handled that with the drive-up at Board of Adjustment, but I think we agreed that we would turn the lights off at 8 p.m. That are out in the parking lot. Building lights by entries would need to be left on for the security cameras. And we'll go with a lower pole LED light to
with
minimize
the, like
spill.
The thing on the top
cutoff,
it, so that it just shines down.
Yeah, with the cutoff shields.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay.
One could last
we,
thing as far
is
as...
Is there a way that we could angle that driveway coming in so that the person, the car would tend to be aimed sort of at the... building?
You like to have your access points at 90 degree angles.
I know.
To the street.
I know.
Yeah. Greg, can I speak for a second? Go back to that drawing, the overhead. What that extending that stacking for the turn lane does, it does two things. Not only does it provide for X number of vehicles to stack, but the taper allows for cars to get out of the travel lane quicker. So if you have a short distance that they have to get over, you sometimes would anticipate you'd have more rear end collisions. because you don't have proper distance to get out of the way and start small before you
I
turn.
I think the perfect example is the entrance to the Hy-Vee on Devil's Glen Road.
That is an excellent example.
Yeah, it's a, there is a left or right in turn lane, but it's yeah. it's not long enough to do any good.
That's, yes.
Mm-hmm. So I definitely see the advantage and the why you're making that recommendation.
One of the other questions we've talked about it in roundabout is there's a potential for a light at Falcon.
There's not a potential for a light at Falcon at 53rd. The City Council has approved a resolution to install a traffic
right,
signal
so
at Falcon.
So you're going to have a traffic signal right at Falcon. How does that impact this this whole need for a you know, a stacking, if you've got...
Well, in my opinion, the way it impacts it the most is people wanting to come out of there and make a left-hand turn going west.
Mm-hmm.
It provides gaps.
Well, I'm talking, that's fine. I understand yeah. that. But I'm saying if you have a light, you know, just a few hundred feet down, are you really going to have the need for all of this stacking?
Well, the light's not always going to be red.
I understand. But you're going to have two lights right there. I mean, people shouldn't be speeding through there. I think it's a reasonable request to move this, move that stacking, you know, even a few feet.
Okay.
To, I mean, I'd hate to have my house be flashed every, you know, 5 minutes. Because, and you say put arborvitae, it'll be 30 years, if ever, before they get tall enough to get to the second floor.
You can get arborvitae to grow to a pretty significant height in a short period of time.
It has a 25-foot tall tree right now.
Those are not arborvitae. Those are spruce. They're far more slow-growing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, commenting on that request, though, even if they had the entrance in the middle of the lot, the cars are still going to circulate around
mm-hmm.
and to the back. I mean, I don't see what that's going to
think
stop because you're saying use of the ATM.
I think the comment was that it's coming up the curb. It's their lights are up. Once they're flat, then landscaping, et cetera, would block it. It's just that initial climb
rise.
From 53rd to this elevation.
How many seconds does it take for someone to get up to the flat then? Is it essentially it sort of boils down to you, I guess.
It's still a flash.
Well, it's also a commercial property.
Yeah.
It's a, I think in as far as intensity of use on that property, it's on the low end of the scale.
It's a lot less than the strip mall that's right next door.
Right. So we're not looking at changing the zoning or putting something different in there than it's been zoned for quite some time. Well, I think we need to, I'll entertain a motion if anybody would like to make one.
Madam Chairwoman, I would move that we would approve case number 15021 subject to staff recommendations.
And second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Bill, are we going to have an update and adjourn? Or is the discussion part of our, that's part of our agenda tonight?
Well, we do have a quorum. We would like to go to, we can do the commission update. I'd like to work around a table that we brought in. We have a
okay.
large map.
Sure.
Talked to the city attorney about this earlier. As long as we still keep the audio on, the minutes of the meeting can be kept. So
okay.
that will work. So if that's okay with you, I could give the commission update now.
All right, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Subsequent to your last meeting, the Highlands third edition public hearing was held last night, and first reading for the office transitional to traditional residential and C5 to PR3, both were recommended, or both were approved the first reading. Lodges at Beaver Meadows, third edition, was approved by the council. The Everest Summit, first edition, final plat and site development plan was approved by the city council. Site plan for QC Auto at 2421 53rd Street was approved by the city council. The monopole tower proposed at Colo Hub had the public hearing and first reading. That was approved by city council last night. And the final plat for Forest Grove Park, first edition, and the site development plan for Forest Grove Park was also approved. So we are hopefully not in the bottom of the ninth yet, but we're in the ninth inning of our comprehensive plan update. And Gary Lozano has agreed to come down today and help us work through the issues. We got the land use map. There were a few changes that were made to that subsequent to our last meeting. So we'll just, Gary, we can just work around the table there. Everybody can come out.
It's like, I wonder if there's something we can, the only thing that's going to make it tough is the, sometimes with the ADA stuff, but if there's a way to that and stormwater detention, we've got to make sure we keep all this going back in this direction. But if there is a way to kind of, I mean, we can cut that curb and just make that a smooth entrance and if we can keep that grade, exactly. But the problem is, unless we can keep all this low, it's not going to matter. Because you'll still get that right. Up and then. Right. That's okay.
They're organizing it. They're going to take their lights and they're going to just shine them. They're going to sit there and strike.
And I'll pull my shade down and I will have a good evening.
I like blocking shade.
What he said.
You're as up to date on this as any of
us. Block out blind.
So over there.
Our last meeting, I think everybody was a little nervous about some of these land use areas, these density areas that allow commercial, multifamily, single family, and did it really give us the protections of our commercial? So Gary and I talked, and Gary's come up with a couple of new land use categories, which basically puts future developers on notice that, hey, even though there are multiple uses allowed in these areas, that these areas we want to make sure are going to be commercial. And he did come up with.
So you're trying to protect the idea that they will be commercial.
Yes, just to clarify that. That was one of your concerns.
So this thing here.
You want to go? I think you get what I'm doing. Yeah, I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for a long time.
This was just like this. This was.
No, I'll probably. I think I'm right. I'm going to fill out this.
To make it even more clear, we have this map that we prepared where we showed the major commercial. We'll add to it these neighborhood commercial areas.
I like that.
So you can very clearly see this. These are commercial areas.
But neighborhood commercial gives it a little different feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Through the descriptions, Gary did add some additional language, and he brought that down. So, I was never concerned about this because we staff, Planning and Zoning Commission, one of their engineers. I think it's a good idea that they know when they look at the map.
I don't know what he did.
That's not going to make any processes.
There's one down my street.
We also did quite a bit of, actually this is a presentation where we looked at several other communities in terms of, okay, we're going to have neighborhood commercial areas. What do we call them? What is the categories? What do the categories mean? We've looked at, I did a similar thing to this in the comp plan for the city of Des Moines. there's a couple of publications that are out that talk about how to break up areas and classify areas. And then also Denver is a city that's done a lot of work in this area. What we're recommending is that we have neighborhood centers and community centers, and that we define those so that when they see this on the map, they'll say, well, this center is a neighborhood center. The square footage of the commercial there is 10,000 square feet to 150,000. If it's a community center, which is serving the entire community, it would be defined as over 150,000 square feet. The acreage is indicated so that we can get a sense for the scale. The scale that would be there for a neighborhood center would be 1 to 7 acres. For a community center, we'd recommend over 7 acres. And then also we would look at floor area ratio to look at the intensity.
All right.
Will you have some present area that you can talk about? This kind of store, that kind of store, this kind of example.
Yes, the test would say, for example, neighborhood commercial center would be serving a trade area of up to 2 miles. Could be mixed use with office and residential uses. They should the character of the uses. Basically, there are uses that the neighborhood uses are everyday kinds of services. We would have a list of typical uses that would be there. One of the things that happens is that over time, as the areas develop, this area particularly, we've shown the neighborhood center there, but this area is a pretty intense, high intensity mixed use area. And over time, one, probably this one, I would say more so than any other, this would be a more of a community center at Forest Grove. And then this has the potential for being that often in the future, because if you look at the area that it serves, it could become a more important center.
Are they too small? Is the area designated or set aside for
Carlo?
Bruin and Grove, you're shaking your head, yes, great, yeah. But the reports that we got say, Bruin says over the next 20 years, we're going to grow with about 24,000 square foot commercial.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, though, that I think commercial tries to be next to commercial. You know, and okay, we've got plenty of commercial, but it's so spread out that we're never going to attract commercial because they want to be here where, you know, Menards, you know, they want to be next to somebody else. And because we've got these small, which I think are great, I mean, these are going to have great facilities for the people living in that
area. See, I think because of that, in this map, we show where the major centers are. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of flexibility in this concept. Even though this area is shown as a medium intensity and a high intensity and commercial, this could accommodate a major center that could be to be even larger. So the idea of this concept is to provide flexibility, because you're right, we don't really know, particularly in this area. Mm-hmm. There could be quite a bit of variability.
All of this could, theoretically, according to plan, develop as commercial.
Buildings like first floor retail type of thing?
But, you know, we're so good at developing residential. Mm-hmm. That's going to get there first.
Well, there's a lot of things to consider. Number one, our land use map that we put together with the last comp plan of the day is the way we'd like to see ourselves develop. And we all know that if somebody comes in with a big bang project, everybody's going to take a good look at it. We have to make changes. Just because you have commercial property doesn't mean people are going to build it. We've been through that for a long time. So what we really need to be steadfast on, and I think we're all in agreement, is that when the developers come in, and they say residential is allowed in this, I want to do all single family residential, we've got to say no. That's not the intent of what the plan is.
How do we do that without having authority?
Fighting right
we
there.
Have the authority. We got it right here.
But I can place single family in here right now under what that land use plan says, and I want to put that in there.
See? That's the type of guy we're fighting against.
That's me.
I'm the flickhead guy.
We've got to tell him no.
Attorney's going to say, it doesn't say it in the regulations. Okay. You're going to have to let
them know,
right?
The new regulations in the new text are going to say that we want
neighborhoods that have commercial mixed with residential, that we want commercial against our major thoroughfares, that we don't want residential butting up, that they're going to have to incorporate it somehow.
So not put single family, but put
right.
progressive.
Right. They're somehow going to have to transition where they're up against
the other part,
these locations.
We've already signed a contract to rewrite the zoning ordinance. So we're going to have a zoning ordinance that's going to align
mm-hmm.
with our comprehensive plan. Mm-hmm.
If you're worried about the legal aspect, I think it's a case that where you make a recommendation to the council, which is a legislative type of decision, is based on these kinds of factors. I don't think the court's going to second guess.
No, if we have a map and if we have, you know, 100 pages of text that we're relying on to support what we're turning down, I mean, a court's not going to insert their opinion over yours. You know.
As long as we have something mm-hmm. that we can base our opinion on.
So back is
yes.
Yeah. Because I've been here long enough to know I've been told many times.
That was the other guy. Christine has a different perspective on this.
So we've talked about how these different categories would be interpreted. And density played a big part in that. So it's something I'm trying to get my head around if it's thinking about what Greg said. So I can see how we could turn things down if they're too dense. But what if they're not dense enough?
Well, and I think that would be important. We're going to have ratios and angles that will explain
what you have to meet.
Right, you have to fall within here to here.
Okay, so if I want to come in here and put in 6-acre estate homes,
right.
you're going to say, well let's
do the calculation, and if it doesn't fit, you know, well, then we're going to have to talk about, you know, how can we make it fit.
I mean, let's look at the map. We really don't have, it's hard to look on the map. We really don't have any shortage of traditional residential, even for future development on the map. There's plenty of trouble is we have people that already own property that want to develop in a certain
way. Sure, they have some ideas that don't necessarily match with this.
Gary, how do you get this distancing here so that you have that staging down so that somebody doesn't come in and they know they're going to push to the extent that this is almost not viable for any commercial or anything, or maybe multi-family? That's the problem I guess I'm looking at is how do you get this so that you just don't have almost all of this covering it and making that non-usable, because you have to have the buffering too, and you have to add in most factors.
So you need to take a whole package at once rather than little pieces.
And if somebody just comes in with if this is an intersection, it would be like, say, this intersection here. And you've got the commercial on the corner of Melody, clearly shown on the map. You have a transition of a kind of a medium density, then you go to low density. So if somebody comes in with this whole thing and they want to do all single family, then you've got this model in the plan. You say, no, we don't want all single family detached on this corner because we need neighborhood commercial and we'd like to have a variety of housing types. So they go back. If they come in with just a part of this, that's probably harder.
Right.
I saw flat tonight.
And we see that all the time.
I saw flat tonight, and you've got to go back to the text and say, well, you're over here in this part, so, like, for example, the plat you approved tonight was the cul-de-sac. You would say, well, we want connectivity. We don't want to see that. And if that's all you own, then instead of a cul-de-sac at the end of it, you're going to have to make that so that can be extended and be part of the network.
Yeah, Gary and I were talking about this afternoon. Beaver Meadows, Legends of Hopewell Creek. It makes no sense not to have these two connected, especially when we have an elementary school right down here. Mm-hmm. So these kids now have to go like this to get there instead of traversing through. So those are the types of things we have to look at when people come in with smaller cars.
We need to see the whole thing. We need a bigger view.
I really feel like, and Paul, you can agree or disagree, I mean, we have, who've been here for a while, have kind of been beaten down into this mindset that we can only look at this. And we only look at the land use or the comp plan when somebody asks us to change it. I don't think I've felt that this is a foundation for me to say, to you, Mr. Either Meadows, well, that's great for this, but what about this? Because all we've ever been able to talk about is what's right in front of us.
We're going to be doing it backwards.
Yeah.
Our previous comp plan didn't talk about those types of things. This one does.
Yeah.
So the first action on your agenda, I really recommend two separate actions. The first report is a report on how does this implement or not implement the comprehensive plan. Therefore, is this deemed to be in conformance or not in conformance with the comprehensive plan? That's an action you take, finding it in conformance or not conformance. Then you only move forward with approval or action on it if it's found in conformance. Because if it's not in conformance with the comp plan, you clearly shouldn't be approving it, or you should amend the comp plan.
Isn't that
a totally different way of doing business?
Isn't it up to them to tell us? They bring it to us saying, we as staff believe this is in conformance.
This is going to put a lot more responsibility on staff also.
Yeah, because like if somebody wants to come in and a developer says, well, you know, I want to develop all this and you got no commercial here, so just let me take a little piece of that.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be up to staff to say no. Mm-hmm. And we're not even going to submit that to the planning and zoning.
Well, an individual has a right to have a hearing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
staff would recommend to
recommend against it.
If we have the tools, it makes it easier.
Yeah. I'd like to take that one step farther while you're discussing that. And I like your language. It's not in conformance with the comprehensive plan. These density tables that we set up, I could see somebody coming in and saying, well, I've got this project that doesn't meet that, I want a variance. But if our language is, it's not in conformance with the comprehensive plan, you can't get a variance for that.
No,
the tables will be part of the zoning ordinance. The tables are not part of the comprehensive plan.
Okay, can you get a variance?
The comprehensive plan is, you know, the bigger picture, and then you get into
I want to have teeth.
You're not supposed to grant a variance at tantamount to rezoning.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful that somebody can come in and say, well, I'm not allowed to do this in area, but I want a variance for you to tell me I can.
I don't think that's
legal.
Well, it depends on what our regulations are going to say at that point.
We will go over the administrative portion of the zoning ordinance.
I'd like it to have teeth, because everybody does that to us. Well, I'll go ask for a variance.
Yeah, and the rules for grant the conditions under which you should grant a variance, the four conditions that are applied comes from a court case, are very, very difficult to actually meet. So there should be very few variances that are, and we'll talk about that when we get to that topic. There should be very few variances because you really have a difficulty showing that.
And I really would like City Council to rely very much on the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yeah.
In making decisions. If you guys, some of you have been doing this for a long time, and legal staff and people that manage properties and everything, just really people that are focused in on these types of things. And if everybody's on the page with this, it kind of takes the political aspect out of it.
Because it's going to really start with you guys.
Yeah.
And then when it gets to us and council, it'll be more, we're not doing all that stuff.
Yeah. But there's still going to be some, I think because there's flexibility, there's going to be room for interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when it's going to come down to
it's going to be the heart of the challenge.
That's when it's going to have to be the staff's going to come to us and we're going to maybe butt heads once in a while and say, hey, that's not what we think it should be. But when we're together, it should go right through.
I think, yeah. And there will be room for interpretation, and the interpretation is going to come when you got a developer that's trying to stretch the limits.
Mm-hmm. And a real important component of the process is the pre-application meeting with staff, because before the developer has spent money on a design for an engineer work, as you know, once they've spent the money and they laid it on paper, they don't want to change it.
They're married to it.
And rightly so, because they've invested money in it. So the trick is to get them in early. Requirement come in and talk to staff and say, well, your property's right here. And our concept, our comprehensive plan really calls for the corner to be commercial. Here's approximately the scale we're looking at. We want you to know that so you don't spend a lot of time laying out a flat single family.
We have that ability. Sure. And quite honestly, we have, with most of our developers, that relationship.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Can we have any kind of language that says, you know, if this is commercial, that this can't develop?
is anything other than a buffer.
Transition.
And if you can't, if you've got an intensive use coming up, then that has to be green space, you know, or something. You know, you can't just run R1 all the way up to that commercial. And
you had that case tonight with
commercial
up there. Those transition areas, that's a very, very important.
That's this right here.
This area here is a good example where you have, what are these, spray patch?
Yeah, duplex.
Yeah, duplex.
And that becomes a transition to what will become hopefully some, well, this is going to be a health center or something.
Well, this one here is bought by Genesis.
Yeah.
Here, we have the fronts of the dwelling units facing the commercial, which is not a good thing. So we need to figure out how to deal with that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Ideally, you'd have
those are garages at the front, right?
Or the basement front,
The best of where the Foster back here.
No, not up on this portion.
Oh,
on that portion.
So that's why we need to develop with duplexes on this side, through the backyards for.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? You were encroaching. Because the way we let it develop, we're encroaching on that.
Ideally, in the future.
So this can't fix all the past this.
No. I'm just saying, but in the future.
In the future,
you would say that, okay, if you've got R1 coming up, you cannot go past a certain point.
Because
from there on in, it's going to be grass until it develops.
Yeah. We want a buffer, or we want the backs of lots to
the backs
of base commercial.
But are these condos right now?
Yeah,
they're duplexes.
Yeah, they're duplexes.
What about this little corner right here?
Fire station?
No. That's
where
the commercial was.
Well, I'm going to make an editorial statement.
Yeah.
And because the neighbors raised so much cane, we put so much restriction on that, it'll never develop as commercial.
So what's going to happen to it? It's just going to sit there?
It's going to be residential.
Well, no.
Potentially.
Green space?
I don't know that that's going to be the case, but if you remember all the restrictions that are placed on the development agreement.
No, this doesn't go through.
This? Yeah, these are dead ends.
Yeah.
You can have a shoe repair shop in here. I don't think any other uses are allowed.
They pull something like new.
It's pretty. It got tied down pretty tight.
No lights at all.
No electricity.
One area that Bill and I talked about. You know, most of these are shown as nodes because we like to see instead of stripped out streets, we like to see them at the corners. But this corridor here, we talked about maybe.
Yeah, keep it because of Veterans Memorial Parkway and us improving Forest Grove Drive all the way to LeClaire, that's going to happen. It's going to become an arterial at some point in time. We may want to see a little more commercial, especially
green. Yeah, it's going to be high volume.
It certainly will.
You're just getting the only shortcut. State Street and Forest Grove Drive are only two ways outside of the interstate of getting from Davenport all the way to LeClaire. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a nice
quarter
when it's done.
15 years from now, it'll probably start looking like something.
I have a niece that lives over here in this area.
But sometimes.
Isn't the casino? Mm-hmm.
Using our sewer system.
Are they?
Yeah. Grow Creek all the way to
no, they aren't.
They are?
No, they're going through Davenport.
Oh, they are? They Wow.
I asked that question.
So one's the Capri one moving out here.
The what?
The Avon one move out here.
Right up there.
I think the Avon is a large property.
Amen.
That would make a lot of sense.
The large one's Devon Street.
It's dead water.
Look at it.
So, this area over here.
We haven't adjourned yet.
Right there.
I can make a motion.
It's too bad. It's right in the heart of our city.
Oh.
Is everybody
unfortunately
pretty well on board with this?
Yeah, I really like this neighborhood commercial concept. I think that's a really
good thing. I think that's a big comfort maker for all of us.
I'm surprised we're showing even that side of the window.
And that's perfectly, you're right to do that on the compact. And then what we wanted to do was go out a distance that was representative of twice. Remember, we had the original demand area and then double it.
Double that.
So it goes outside the further than.
Well, Christine sent a letter to Davenport basically saying this was our intent.
We have a draft moratorium agreement with them identifying this area.
Yeah.
So they're aware.
How about Buddy's report? What about Britain?
Pickens is slim over there.
You know, if we do, and one thing we talked about with the comp plan is let's do a.
This is
county. Yeah. Yeah, we don't. This is a county. Going
this way is the
player.
Okay.
But if you do a benefit analysis of what we would gain, I don't know if there's a lot of value.
Yeah, we talked about that.
And really, originally they were talking about bringing the sewer up to the I-80, bringing that up Stafford Creek, and decided to go a different route, so they brought it up, and now they're going to punch under the interstate with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't even have the ability to sewer this at this point in time.
The only thing you might want
and
to look at is...
We know what those existing clear roads are like.
You know, normally a city would like to see contiguous growth, and that would call for growth from the south to the north. But you know, I know the city owns some land up here. If a development comes in that needs that land and that needs sewer, obviously that's going to drive the desire to go ahead and go up there first, perhaps.
Yeah, we're supposed to do the bore under 70 or under 80 this year, Christy.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the big chunk of the project.
We just have to get to that.
We're going to make sure, Gary, too, that when we look at the zoning ordinance, that we make sure we don't create, I think I talked with you about this before, non-conforming uses. We want to keep and make sure we get this uniformity so we don't put anybody in jeopardy with any densities or setbacks or anything
principle
of that
is,
nature.
Well, you want to create as few as possible. Until we get into it, we won't know. But there's some things you can do to minimize those, even if you do change the regulations. As an example, you could declare anything that was existing legally prior to that date, could declare it not to be non-conforming, but to be conforming. But then from that point forward, regulation wouldn't allow that. That you're absolutely right. You don't want to create non-conforming if you can avoid it.
But you know, we've done some things right on this map: single-family residential, duplexes, a little higher density 12-plex multi-story condos, and then the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, whether on purpose or by accident, you know, we have done some things that make some sense.
Well, and you have some other areas where you just had too much of a concentration.
More here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little more about this.
That's the
public, semi-public.
Yep. This is the community center.
State and 23rd, Lisa.
Yeah.
No,
that's
side of
the Masonic.
Oh, that's the Masonic.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Where's our community?
It should be
right here.
Noted.
Okay, I guess. Yeah.
In there, I know. That's probably too small.
By the way, that rezoning we did tonight. Going to happen is I've been working with Lauren and Gary, and we've got like four different areas of the text of the comp plan that we've tuned up. I think Lauren's got those done, right? Mm-hmm. She's, yep. Gary will add.
I'll revise this section. We'll put the detail in.
Put the detail in. We'll try to by the first part of next week shoot this out by email. We got an open house on the 13th of April from 5 to 6:30 at the North Room at the library. That's going to be, and I hope everybody feels that we try to keep this whole thing as transparent as possible. Lots of public meetings.
No kidding.
So hopefully everybody will be on board. And then after that, take into the public account, and then we'll turn this thing up, and we'll come to you for recommendations.
So that would probably be this summer?
Yeah, but we're going to adopt it with the caveat that it's probably not going to take effect until the ordinance is in place.
Mm-hmm.
And Christy and I have been talking about that, how really that all should work. It's pretty hard to do this when you don't have an ordinance though.
Yeah, it's got all jive.
This issue of how specific to be on the conference plan is very common. And I was in Des Moines for 30 years working for the city, and I've seen it go from a very, very specific. When I first got there, the conference plan was like the zoning map. It was that. And it was too detailed. We had people looking at property parcel line, arguing that the comp plan said they could be merged up to this parcel line. We went from that extreme in the 1980s, we went to the other extreme. We didn't even have areas. We had an asterisk here, a big asterisk that said commercial. It was trying to define what commercial, but it was just an asterisk. And that frankly, went
I'm
too
glad
far.
You didn't bring that to us.
No. We learned our lesson. That went too far in the other direction, way too far. So somewhere in the middle, these are fuzzy lines. You know, that line is not a parcel line or anything. That's just indicating that transition there. It's up to you and your judgment and reviewing cases to decide where it's appropriate. And this is really kind of a happy medium, you know, in that whole issue, because you can go too far in generalization, too.
Ready or adjourned?
We're adjourned.
She's got her coat on record.
We'll take this down.